Hi, good afternoon, folks. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is October 28, 2010. This is a community conference call strictly for the purposes of information only. By participating in this call, you have not agreed to be represented by you, by us, nor have we agreed to represent you. The purpose of this call is merely community information. That said, today I don't have a lot of questions. So at the end of the call, I think we'll have enough time for any follow-through or follow-up questions or even new questions. Let me get started. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that this call is being recorded. So if you folks do not wish your voice to be recorded in the call, don't speak or make up a name if you want. And if you don't want your voice to be recorded, you can also hang up. Those are the choices. First question from Danny86 says, a family member was caught in Arkansas with about 10 pounds of cocaine. So he's got permanent residence for 20-plus years. Can we fight his case? I don't know enough about this area of the law to be really giving you meaningful advice. Our practice is very much focused on professional business investment-based immigration. So I hardly ever do any criminal-related cases unless they are related to our own field, such as in H-1 investigations or L-1 investigations or related fraud. So I cannot really comment upon this. Second question from KRUPAMB, passed BCom 3-year degree and CA from India. So let me explain something to you. First of all, there are a couple of rulings from Administrative Appeals Unit from USCIS, which clearly says CA or cost accountancy, none of these qualify as education. According to the government, these are trainings. These are not really education. So there is no question in my mind that it's very unlikely they are going to let you go through EB2 for classification. Okay? Very, very unlikely. I would even be concerned about your approved I-140. If these folks, the USCIS people, figure out that you have an I-140 approval which is questionable, they can actually go back and revoke it. I would strongly recommend you get together with your lawyers, go over your case, and make sure that, you know, there is no harm going to come to your I-140. If there is a possibility of any harm, you will need to get your green card process started again. Okay? So it's not that simple, Krupa. In fact, the questions that you're asking are irrelevant in view of what I just told you. Okay? Next question is Vaini. Entered USA on F-1, converted to H-1B, currently in fifth year of H-1B. Not finished MS yet, two more courses left. During last 5 years of H-1B, spent 3 months out of USA. Okay. Joined an employer in August 2010 who's willing to sponsor green card. They filed for prevailing wage, but it's taking so long, et cetera, et cetera. My questions are, if my employer is unable to file a labor cert before December, which is end of fifth year, how do I make sure that I get future extensions? Well, here's how it works. Let's say instead of filing 12 months ahead, they file 9 months ahead. So they are 3 months too late. What would then happen is that at the end of your H-1, if you have no time left to recapture time that you've been outside USA, you would have to leave for 3 months, and then you can come back on H-1 extension again. It's not an all-or-nothing proposition, you know. It used to be that way. INS used to interpret the law that unless you have maintained H-1 throughout, they will not give you an extension. Now they will give you an extension even if there is a gap, like a 3-month gap in your H-1 or a 6-month gap in your H-1. Then, can my employer start advertising while the PWD response is still pending? They can, but I have always considered that to be a very risky policy. Especially the thing that takes the longest after PWD is the job order. And for job order, you need to know the salary. job order takes 60 days, 30 days of posting, 30 days of layover. So really there is no real benefit in starting the advertising now. Next question, as per the 365-day rule, when will my fifth year end? Is it December or will it be February? It'll be February because if you were outside USA for 3 months like you said you were, so you can recapture that time. Basically, what will happen is before December sometime, you will file for 3 months of H-1. And that's the way it works. It's not automatic. You have to file for it. About the master's course, I'll be completing by January next year. So if a labor application is filed this year, can my employer process it in EB-2? I have a 4-year bachelor's degree and 7 years of work experience. Well, it looks like you can qualify for EB-2 even without the master's degree. But if a master's degree is obtained while you're working for the employer, it may be difficult to use it unless the employer is giving you maybe a promoted position or a substantially different position than what you're doing right now or for which you were hired. Okay? That was Kumar. Next question is, I guess this is Kumar. No, I-140 problem. That's the 140 problem. That's the name of the user, the community member. Here is the background. Job description in PERM requires bachelor's plus 5 years work experience. PERM approved in June 2010. I-140 applied for EB-2 with premium processing. 2 out of 3 year experience letters were signed by supervisors on personal letterhead. So the problem here was this. His I-140 letters, experience letters, were signed by people, supervisors, on their personal letterhead, not on the corporate letterhead. Now, once the I-140 was denied, the question is, should we file a reopen appeal or should we file a new I-140? It's a very difficult decision for me to make without, you know, reading the whole case. But I personally would probably refile the I-140. There are some gray areas here that bother me a little bit. One of the gray areas that bothers me is that if you don't file an appeal against a denied I-140, after 33 days, you lose the right to appeal. But if you file an appeal and then you want to file a second I-140, USCIS will probably, not always, they are not consistent in this, they will not adjudicate the second I-140 until the appeal is decided. And the appeal takes 2.5 years to decide. So motion to reopen by itself, in my view, in most cases is useless, except where there is no appeal possible. So I hardly ever do MTRs and I-140s. I always do MTR / appeal, both together. So all in all, should you file a new I-140? That's for sure. I think you should file a new I-140. But the question is, should you also file an appeal against the existing I-140? That's the existing I-140 denial. That's a little difficult for me to decide. Let me see if you have time left on the appeal. I-140 denied in October 2010. I think you should seriously consider filing an appeal also. And at some point of time, if USCIS does not adjudicate the second I-140, so file both a new I-140 as well as an appeal. If INS does not adjudicate the second I-140 and they want to keep holding it, you could then at some point withdraw the appeal and let them decide the second case. I just want to take a chance at probably getting the I-140 approved without withdrawing the appeal. That would be great. Will it have any impact on any H-1 extension application? Should be worried about my 1-year H-1 extension now that the I-140 is rejected. What happens is, once USCIS gives you the extension, they don't normally take it back. It's yours to keep. Okay? So normally they will not take it back. I have looked at this law very carefully. I think they can, but it's a logistical nightmare. They cannot keep track of whose I-140 has been filed, who's not been filed, and whose H-1 should be taken away. I mean, I think it's just that's the reason. Or maybe they just take a benevolent interpretation of the regulations that once the benefit is given, they don't want to take it away. Whatever the reason, normally they don't take away the extension that they have given. Okay. Here is another advantage. If you file an appeal, while the appeal is pending, you keep getting H-1 extensions. Okay. Of course, you also have the same benefit if the second I-140 is filed. For some reason, I just like the idea of doing both of these things together, and I have done it in many, many cases. Our next question is from Andrew G.C. Applied for I-45 and EB-3, case card approved, received the actual green card. Received a letter to give biometrics. Should I ignore the letter? Well, I would still go, because if they have sent that letter in error, if there is no other irregularity, you should at least be able to inform them that you got your green card, so they can note it on the record and not create any confusion in your file. So I would say go for the biometrics, but let them know that you already have your approval. Next question is Zohar. I'm very curious to know how the I-485 EB-3 are being processed by USCIS. I just learned from a colleague of mine whose priority date was in 2005, and she received her green card in the mail. Whereas my priority date is in 2002, and I'm still waiting. Well, here's how it works. First of all, until the priority date is current, nobody should be able to get adjudicated. There is something called pre-adjudication, but I'm not talking about that for now. However, once the priority date is current, then USCIS starts adjudicating cases, and the difference in adjudication time can be fairly long. Sometimes cases get stuck in background checks, and if your case is stuck in background checks, who knows how long it's going to take. Impossible to predict. Okay? If I were you, I would go through a congressman's office and see what the delay is. And if you want to understand how to contact the congressman's office, on immigration.com, type the word congressman, one word, congressman, in the search box. I think third or fourth article that pulls up tells you exactly how to contact your congressman's office. Next question is Vancouver Dude, mailing address in the U.S. He's a Canadian citizen who's got his green card, and he's looking for a good job. But he's got a very good job in Canada. He doesn't want to move until unless he's got a job in USA. So the question is, I have only 6 months to come to USA. I don't have a job in USA right now. How do I manage to keep my green card to USA? Let me just see. Would it be okay if I rent a mailbox address and drive through the border? No. You have to have your permanent home in USA. This is a very difficult question to answer. I think what you need to do is you should go ahead and talk with your lawyers, because there are so many variables and things can change so drastically depending upon what you're planning to do. But general law, I can tell you, the general law is, unless your permanent home is in USA, they can take away your green card anytime they want, okay? They can take you before an immigration judge and take away your green card. Now, one more thing that you can do is something called reentry permit. Look into doing a reentry permit. Form I-131 instruction. Read the instruction, it'll give you a good idea, okay? Also read the instructions on form N-470. It may not be applicable to you, but it's worth knowing that. N as in Nancy, 470. Next question, Aruchan. Currently on H-1B, which is valid for another 5 years, subject to extension. Through my current employer, I have I-140 approved on EB-3. 8 years of experience, 3 years with current employer, 5 years with previous employer. I don't have an experience certificate for around 6 months of the 5 years. Okay. Queries. I understand that I would need at least 5 years of experience to file EB-2 and carry the priority date. However, I was told that these 5 years need to be outside of current employer experience. Well, that's not actually entirely true, but the 5 years need to be in a job substantially different than what you are doing with this employer if you want to use the experience gained with the same employer. So let's say you were hired as a programmer analyst with this employer, by this employer. and you have 3 years experience, you cannot use those 3 years of experience unless they are offering you a job which is substantially different, more than 50, 60, 70% different than your programmer on this job, let's say team leader or project manager. So unless you have more than 50% different job, you cannot use the experience gained within a prior job while working with the same employer who is filing for a green card. Although I have 5 years of experience outside of current employer, I'm wondering if not having an experience certificate would hurt my chances. Yes, you have to have experience certificates. You can use pay stubs or letters, etc., as acceptable proof, and also affidavits from people who used to work with you. But it's a road that you have to tread carefully. Discuss this with your lawyers. Tell them what kind of evidence you can get, and see what they recommend. But yes, you can demonstrate evidence of having worked somewhere through secondary material, not necessarily directly a letter from the employer. But you've got to at least be able to show the government that you tried to get the original evidence or the primary evidence. So would it increase my chances if I changed employer and have them file EB2? Yes, yes, it would. Assuming I change my employer, can you please clarify on the documents I would need from my previous employer? Just a copy of your file. At a minimum, I would say a copy of the I-140 approval. Also a copy of the labor cert filing, form filing, ETA 9089. Also, if the employer is not willing to provide the same, is there an alternate source? Yeah, you can file a request, or that's also called the Privacy Act request. Privacy Act / Freedom of Information Act request. You might be able to get a copy of some of your documents to that matter. Next question, J1W. Came to U.S. on a Fulbright scholarship. Well, you see, you went from J1 to F1 to J1, but you've not spent 2 years continuous back in your home country. In this situation, I can't see any way of getting a waiver, because as you know already, Fulbright waivers are very, very difficult to get. And unless you have some extreme and exceptional hardship, not to you, but to your spouse or child who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents, it'll be very, very difficult to get a waiver. I'm looking at the rest of your questions. Is there a way to appeal this decision? No, I don't see much hope. Fulbright waivers are very difficult to obtain if the amount is more than a couple of $1,000s. In your case, it was $4,000 or $5,000. If I apply for diversity lottery, as far as I know, yes, no matter which green card category you apply for, you will not be able to get it unless you get your waiver or you do your 2 years of home residency. Do I have to do only 2 years or 4 years because of two different J1s? No, only 2 years. Would any time I spend in my home country between 2002 and now count towards the 2 years? No, it's got to be two almost continuous years. A few days here and there are okay, but if you are gone for like 6 months, they might ask you to start the 2 years period all over again. Okay? So I really don't have much to tell you. It looks to me like you're going to have to go for the 2 year stay in your home country. Next question, KGY_Coro. H-1B transfer while on I-140 extension after 6 year max out. I'm currently on H-1B visa and my max out date is July 2011. I-140 is approved under EB3. H-1B extension good till July 2013. Will I be able to transfer my H-1B to another company? Yes, you can get an H-1B approved for employer B and get an extension based upon an I-140 approved for employer A. But remember one thing. Let's say company A got your I-140 approved. Now you get your approval of H-1 for employer B. If the company A revokes your I-140, you should be able to keep your priority date. You'll have to start the green card all over again. But I don't think you'll be able to get your H1 again, because the I-140 would have been withdrawn. So you need to file a second green card and be able to get your H1 extensions based upon the second green card. Okay? Next question, I think this is the last question for today. From Danny86, visa for my brother. I have a tough question to ask you. Is it possible for my brother to get a student visa to attend a community college here? He used to live here when he was younger. He's now 20 years old. He was not in the United States more than a year after he turned 18. Could I sponsor him? I thought the 310 bar begins at the age of 18. So if somebody, I could be wrong about this, but if somebody stays in USA for more than 1 year unlawfully, and I'm assuming that he was present unlawfully, then they can't come back for 3 years. I'm sorry, 10 years. If they are in USA more than 6 months, but less than 1 year, they can't come back for 3 years. But you can certainly sponsor him as a brother of a US citizen. What time it takes is on our website. Look under Visa Bulletin. It gives you some idea of how long it takes. Okay, folks. Have a lot of people today. Let's open the call for any follow-up questions. Once the follow-up questions are done, then I will open the call for any new questions that people might have. Hang on 1 second. Yeah. Okay, any follow-up questions, folks, first?
Yes, this is Vinay Kumar.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Rajiv. Can you hear me?
Hello, I can hear you fine, yes.
Yeah, this is Vaini, actually. This is about the green card and labor application. First of all, thank you for the answer.
Absolutely.
And here is a quick follow-up question. So what are my other options at the end of 6 years to get extension in case if my labor gets approved but I-40 is still pending?
You can premium the I-140. If the I-140 gets approved, then you've got 3 year extension right away.
Okay, and if I don't get labor approved at all in 6 years, so what would that my option would be in that case?
You'll have to leave until the first year anniversary of labor cert filing has arrived.
Okay, yeah.
Leave for a few months.
Yeah, and how long does it take perm approval still these days? That's how do I
the
get
the earliest in? One we've gotten this week is 28 days.
Oh, that is within 28 days.
Some of them. I mean, most of them are within 3 months, but if you go into audit, then 2.5 years.
Oh, okay. Oh, audit and how does that will be determined whether my case is being put in audit or?
It's a closely guarded secret how cases are selected for audit.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. So that was my question again.
Good luck.
And
yes, go ahead. Hi,
Rajiv.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, I posted my question as 140 problem.
Okay.
And my immediate concern was my H-1 extension. Now, you mentioned that INS does not take back H-1s.
Right.
But my problem is my H-1 extension is not yet approved. It has been applied for after the
140. Your I-140 has been declined, right?
That is correct, yes.
Was it declined in October?
It was declined this month, and we were actually waiting for
all
the 140.
The more reason, all the more reason for you to file an appeal right away, because if you file the appeal, then you're entitled to your H-1 extension, even if the I-140 is denied.
Okay. So I need to file the appeal to make sure
not,
that
not
it happens.
Motion to reopen. Motion to reopen does not give you the right for extension.
Okay. So it has to be a motion to reopen and an appeal, as well as file a new one.
Let me explain something to you. A motion to reopen is automatically included in the appeal.
Okay.
It is a sub-part of the appeal.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, in the appeal, do we need to, do a personal affidavit, like why we are filing an appeal and all that stuff?
That's too much logistics. Basically, appeals are done for many, many different reasons, more evidence, legal issues. I can't tell you exactly what the grounds for appeal would be, but yeah, an appeal is necessary.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Folks, anybody else has any follow-up questions?
Hi, Rajiv.
Yeah?
Hey, Rajiv, this is Gopal.
Yes, sir.
This is regarding I am a BCom graduate with CA.
BCom with CA, yes, sir. I remember your case.
Yes. You told that it is 140 is approved.
Yeah, I am very concerned that if somebody starts looking at it and says, well, you can't really combine BCom and CA, they could revoke your I-140. I would very strongly recommend that you file a second green card.
No, it is actually approved under EB3, not EB2.
No, it doesn't matter. If the labor cert presented to the government as equivalent to a bachelor's degree, a combination of your BCom and CA, that can be struck down.
Okay.
So I don't know your labor cert language, how it was drafted, but if they presented your BCom plus CA as being equivalent to a U.S. bachelor's degree, that's not going to pass.
What is the solution you are providing?
I want you to file a second green card. Just
second.
In case this one gets revoked, you would have something else going on.
No, second, how I can do it? Is it the same? Is it a different evaluation or how?
No. Basically, what you do is you don't require a bachelor's degree. Remember, EB3 is open to two classifications of people, those who have a bachelor's degree and those who have no degree but have 2 years' experience.
Okay.
Both people fall under EB3 category. They're called skilled workers. So
yes.
Professionals and skilled workers both are under EB3.
And my experience did not count for this C category, EB3?
Well, you cannot. The weird thing is that you can combine education and experience for H1, but you cannot combine it for green card to come to a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, have your lawyers discuss this with you. I think you should refile. You should file a second green card.
Because my labor case, it is only a degree, not equivalent to U.S. degree, but it says just degree and experience.
I have my doubts. I want you to either take an opinion from me or take an opinion from your lawyers. I think there's a problem here.
Okay, thank you. I will call you after some time. Later.
Absolutely. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Folks, next.
Hey, Rajiv. This is Zohar.
Hi, Zohar. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Oh, so far, so good. Yeah, I think you need to check if your background, there's a problem with your background check.
Well, let me give you a little brief background as to what's happening with my case.
Sure.
I was called in for an interview last year, in the middle of last year sometime. We finished the interview, and the lady who interviewed us, you know, probably she wasn't aware that my priority date was not current at that time, and she said, you know, look out for the green card in the mail. At that point, my attorney turned around and said, his dates are not current yet. So she said, oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. And then she put a tick mark on that form that they have, you know.
Right.
I was really kind of pulled aback when I heard this yesterday from my colleague. I mean, it's a straight, clean-cut case, you know.
Then it makes no sense why it has been lying around for so long. Get your congressman involved. They should be able to knock some doors for you.
Okay, so you suggest just talk to our congressman?
Oh, absolutely. They're very helpful in these cases. Most of them are.
Right, because I mean, as per my priority date, it's not current yet. It's sometime it's running at the moment in somewhere.
No, only when it gets current, you need to start worrying about it. See what happens. Let me explain something to you. Once the case is adjudicated, 485 is adjudicated, USCIS has to get a visa number from the Department of State.
Okay.
They do it via, I believe, a phone, fax, or email.
Okay.
So there could be a possibility before they got the visa number or they applied for a visa number, your date slips back again. So the dates were current. Well, right now, yours were never current.
Right.
But let's say they were current and they slip back again. Then all of a sudden you're back in limbo until the dates become current.
Right.
So until the dates become current, there's nothing you can do. Sit tight.
Right. But how do the dates, you know, visas from dates like 2005, that's like 3 years away from me. I just couldn't fathom the fact that, you know how it is. I mean,
no, yeah, I know. It's a very strange system. And if you read our website on immigration.com, things about visa bulletin, you'll begin to realize how messed up this whole system is. But, you know, we can complain about the system. The fact still remains, you've got to deal with it. This is what we are stuck with.
Yeah, that is true. I was just hoping that if there was something that, you know, you could do to...
Oh, no, I wish I could. I wish. I so dearly wish that I could do something for you, but there isn't anything I can do.
Okay, I guess I'm just going to get stuck
in the... Until the PD becomes current, there's nothing you can do.
Okay.
All
right? Well, thanks very much. I really appreciate what you're doing here.
My pleasure. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. Folks, anybody else has any follow-up questions?
Hello, Rajiv?
Yes, sir.
This is Andrew GC with the biometrics letter.
Yes, Andrew. Yeah, go for the biometrics.
Just go for it? Okay.
My
concern is that, though, I don't have a problem giving it again, though. It's that if I give it and then the case goes back to initial review or something, does
that affect me? What you do is, you just go there and you let them know I already have my green card. Do you still need my biometrics?
So take that with me and show it to them.
Yeah, what I'm concerned about is it may be an edith check. Normally they don't do ediths if they've done biometrics before. So, you already have a green card anyway, they shouldn't be doing EDIT anyway. I'm 99.9% sure that they're going to send you back saying, oh no, sorry, we scheduled a mistake. You can also call and then follow up with an email, follow up with a letter.
Okay.
You can actually call customer service or you can even call, I don't know if they let you call the application support center directly, but I know that you can communicate with them through the customer service 800 number.
I did call that, though, and the lady agent was really unfriendly, and she said, just go there, and
might as well, if it is not too much of a hassle. I just don't like to leave things to chance. I'll give you an example. One of my very good friends, in fact, he is one of the guys who was pivotal in suggesting to me that we should get the URL immigration.com. I've known him for a long time, 20 years almost. He had a 485 as well as a State Department proceeding pending for his green card. About 10 years after getting his green card, he got a mail from State Department saying, we consider your green card application to have been abandoned, so we are basically throwing away your application. Okay? So he called me and said, but I already have my citizenship. I said, well, this is how this government works. So don't worry. But just to keep the record straight, we'll send them a letter saying that you are making a mistake. You already have your citizenship. So things like that will happen all the time.
So just go there and tell them I have my bio, I have my green card, and let them decide.
Absolutely. And they shouldn't be taking a biometric. There's no reason for it.
But there's no way they can, regardless if they do take or don't take, they can go back and say your 485 is pending now,
you
it's not approved yet, or whatever.
You don't have to worry about that at all.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Rajiv, I have one more question with my 140 problem. Do you have advice to file, to appeal, both do an appeal and file a new 140?
Yeah.
However, it's still going to be that I will not have experience letters on letterheads for one of the companies that I have worked.
Let me tell you something. There is no law that says that's the only evidence you can present. As long as you can show that you tried your very best, and now you're getting secondary evidence. We use affidavits from co-workers and supervisors all the time.
Okay, and then I can always supplement it with my pay stubs and H-1 petitions.
Actually blame your lawyer for this, because any lawyer who's worked in this field even for a little while should know that unless the letters are on company's letterhead, they're not going to fly. But to be fair, it is entirely possible that the paralegals or the lawyers didn't realize that this was not the corporate letterhead of the old employer.
Well, I think they told me that it could be because we did it in premium processing, and there are more rejections in the processing unit.
This does not make me feel very good. These are silly excuses. Whether you file premium or non-premium, you would have the same problem.
Okay.
So I don't think premium processing has anything to do with it. I think we are doing 90% of our cases premium processing. I don't see any heightened scrutiny beyond what is ordinary in non-premium cases. So, no, I don't agree there with that, sir. But that's my viewpoint.
Okay, so as long as I can appeal and file a new 140 with secondary, with more documentation, it should be okay, right?
Yes, sir. And you have to have excuse of primary evidence. Why were you not able to get the primary evidence? What is primary evidence? Letter from the old employer on their letterhead. What would be the excuse?
Right.
I called, I spoke with this guy, I spoke with that guy, I sent an email, they are refusing to
right.
do it, you know.
But the letter also has to, from the supervisor who actually supervised you at the work.
I would just get an affidavit from the supervisor.
Yeah, the thing is, my supervisor doesn't work at that company anymore, so there
That's
is no
right.
way.
That's all right. All they have to say is, between the years 89 and 92, I was, you know, this guy's supervisor, and I was working there, and I was supervising. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we gave them exactly, but they still denied it.
I always get affidavits. I don't use letters in those cases.
Okay. All right.
Good luck to you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Folks, any other follow-up questions?
Rajiv, this is Vaini again. This is the question again about
yeah,
the...
Go ahead.
Quick follow-up. As I said, right, I came to on F1, but I have one couple of more courses to take to complete my MS degree. So my question is about the EB2 and EB3. When is that determined?
When you file the labor, sir.
So if my attorney currently files in the labor application, let's say with the job requirement, and when I put my master's...
hang on one second. You have to be fully qualified for the job on the date of the labor cert. So let's say my master's is going to be done in 6 months. I file my labor cert today. Can I require master's? No, because I don't yet have it.
Oh, okay. Yes. So, but can I use my master's letter for switching to the EB2 lane?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as you meet the requirements that I just discussed with you, sure.
Yeah, and currently also, even without my master's, also my application is being filed under EB2 only.
Yeah, if you have BS plus 5, you should go under EB2, yeah.
EB2 only, okay, right. And down the line, in case I can always have a chance to submit my master's degree also.
But what is the need? It is like killing a dead horse. You already have an EB2, you can't go, if you do your master's, it's not going to make it any faster.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the
help. My pleasure. Folks, anybody else has a follow-up question? Okay. Any new questions? Very good. This was very easy. Well, good talking with all of you, and in a couple of weeks, we'll talk again. Take care.
Yes, sir. One last question is, in case if you want to follow up on these cases again with you as a more actual professional...
this is how I make a living. I'll be happy to look at your paperwork. But if I'm doing it for you free, why do you want to pay me? I'm giving you the same amount of attention.
Definitely. This is a wonderful attention than my employer, Shatani. I really...
Yeah, but if you have something that you want me to look at specifically and spend some time over, which I don't feel I do, but if you want me to, I'll be happy to do it for you. No problem. All you need to do is send us an email through the contact us form on our website or pick up the phone and call our office, either way.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, sir. Bye-bye, folks.
Thanks.